January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AUDIOBOOM. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AUDIOBOOM for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AUDIOBOOM.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We ended last hour talking about the Astros. They're 42-41, and the bats have been alive the last 10 games. They had 15 hits yesterday. That is 10 or more hits in 8 of their last 10. So there was an article that came out, I believe, last week about even when they were in the midst of turning this around, Alex Bregman talked about this isn't what they want to be as far as a team not seeing pitches. They are known, and at least he wanted to get back to a team who forced guys to work and not just have to get through this lineup and making it difficult because of how much talent there is, but just making it difficult pitch to pitch. So if that's the philosophy they're going with, it certainly worked in the last you know, well, at this point we're putting that at about 2 weeks or so. The climb back into the race has been pretty impressive. We can thank Seattle for falling apart a little bit too. So the combination has made gaining 6.5 games in a matter of, well, I guess you would say about 2 weeks now. It's generally not how it goes. They've done it pretty quickly, and all of a sudden, you breathe a sigh of relief. Look, the Astros in any other division would be a middling team, and questions would be asked about whether they're going to make the playoffs. But the AL West isn't great, and the AL wildcard race, they're certainly in that as well. And the bats have woken up, and it was big this weekend because you didn't get good starting pitching on Friday and Saturday. Now, Sunday, Sean Dubin in the bullpen game was really good. But even then, you just ask your bullpen to hold it together for that long. They're going to be a couple bobbles, and the Astros certainly responded with their offense again in extras, piling on the Mets and putting that game away in the top of the 11th. So the bats have gotten going. Joe Espada talked about how big it was to get above 500 and his thoughts about the team and never giving up on them.
You know what, sir? I never lost faith in this group. You know, I know that we were down, but we were not out. And I'm not surprised that we are where we at. And we will continue to fight to get where I know this team will get.
And, you know, that's just baseball, Sean. You never get too high. You never get too low. It's a long season. Marathon, blah, 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 blah. All the things they always say.
We were down, but we were never out.
That's right.
Come on.
They were never out. Even at 10 games back, they were never out.
Yeah, they were. Because there was 100 games left.
That's right. So that when they tell you, Sean, when you scoff at baseball people telling you that there's a long way to go, maybe you'll realize how right they are.
Is it wrong that I can think is, wow, I can't imagine how annoying everyone is going to be next season when anyone is bad for the first month of the season,
you're not allowed to talk about it.
Everyone's going to be like, well, yeah.
You cannot.
You saw what happened last year. You can stink it up as bad as you want in April. It's like, then why are we talking about it? Like, then, okay, then we should just, when Astros season comes back, we just shouldn't talk about it for 75 games.
Well, you're now in my corner because I have always said the length of baseball makes it almost ridiculous to have actual conversations about what's going on. Because any response about a guy struggling and what it might mean, 120 more games to go. And you can't fight it because it's true. But that's why we decided on this show game by game. They got to 500. No conversations about what they could be overall. We'll just take it game by game. Positivity, or we can be constructive in our criticism if they lose.
Yeah. The only way to ever talk about baseball is at the end of the season.
Yeah, because...
Because even late in the season, well, things could turn around. I mean, for 2 weeks, anyone can get red hot.
You know, you can't judge anyone until you have 162 data points.
I need all of it, all the data.
Yes, exactly. You can only start to overreact game by game when the playoffs start. Because when the playoffs begin... then
it actually matters.
It actually matters if you struggle in game one.
There's only five more. Well,
or six more, depending on how the series goes.
Yeah.
So that is where we are. The Astros are playing better. The standings are better for them. And overall, a good feeling. Maybe except for Altuve, because he got thrown out yesterday. But
the team
found a way to win, and so I'm sure he's okay with it.
At what point during the delay do you think he was like, you know what, I'm cool now?
He was still in this uniform after the game.
That's nuts.
I'm getting out of the uniform.
He got thrown out like 6 hours before the game ended.
Get out of the uniform. Like, you are allowed to take a shower. Who's going to say anything to you? I don't know what the baseball rules are during a rain delay and you've been thrown out. I'm sure there's no written rule. I'm sure there's an unwritten rule about how you're supposed to react. But
let's ask Brian McCann.
I'm taking off the jersey. I'm getting out of these stupid pants I got to wear to play this game. I'm taking a shower, putting on normal clothes, and I'll answer your questions because I'm a professional, but I'm not doing it in my jersey.
You know what surprised me? This is a hockey observation from the two-thirds of a hockey game that I watched last week. That it looked like during the periods – during the intermission.
Yeah, they're periods. You're okay.
Intermission during periods.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say halftime, but it's...
You caught yourself.
Yeah. But in the intermission between periods, guys were putting back on their jersey.
Yeah, they take everything off. It's sweaty. They're sweaty in there. They don't wear that crap.
It's just crazy to think that.
Some guys take off their skates, take off everything. They put it back on. Hockey players.
And they do that...
They do it twice. And if there's an overtime, they might do it three times.
Oh, my God.
Particularly in hockey, in the playoffs, hockey in the regular season, the overtimes, you don't go – I don't think you go back in to rest. But, yeah, I get it. You don't want to wear the same – you know, some football players will put – soccer players generally, maybe not all of them, will put on a different jersey at halftime just because they've been out there and sweating, particularly in Copa here. You want to wear the same jersey you've been wearing in 85 to 90-degree heat. No.
I think it's just the equipment.
It's a lot.
And the fact that you have to do it twice.
It is a lot.
Football halftime, you only do it once and you have way less time.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's why you never see like a middle linebacker taking off his pads and then, okay, put them back on now.
Yeah, because in football, by the time you get into the actual locker room, what do you got, like 9 minutes?
Yeah.
I think a regular season, well, just I guess any NFL's halftime when it's not the – no, it's not the Super Bowl. It's about, what, 12 to 15 minutes?
I think it's 15.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of time. Get a drink, get a little something to eat, talk to your position coach, and talk to the coordinator. And then you're hearing the head coach give you the speech to get you back out there. And you got to maybe warm up again a little bit, too. Lazy J and Eric, we see you. I was going to get to apparently the secret hero for the Astros, according to Chas McCormick. We might get to that a little bit later. But you guys want to talk some soccer with Copa, and certainly the Euros going on. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
The
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
If we can talk about what hockey players do during intermission, we can certainly talk about soccer. It is open to all, whatever you want to talk about. Hell, you can call about rugby. I don't really have an answer for you. Eric tried to get that off earlier. All I'm saying is I root for the Sabercats. That's the extent of my knowledge. But Eric, a different one, wants to talk Copa. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning, Dale. Good morning, Dale. How you doing? Long time listener. It's my second time calling. I actually called on your very first show to give you congratulations. But anyways, I was just calling to ask, so with the game tonight versus Uruguay, is it do or die for Berhalter? Or do you think USA is going to make the same mistake over and over again and keep him on into the 2026 World Cup? I personally think that he should have been gone years ago, but for some reason they got a soft spot for this dude, and it just drives me insane because I feel like we can do so much more in the World Cup if we had an actual manager, you know what I mean? And second of all, I want to ask you, what do you think about England, man? I know Jude and Harry Kane bailed him out yesterday, but what do you think about Southgate, man? He got that totally wrong, and I hate that they won that game. I'm ready for him to get shipped out like they're possibly about to do Italy's manager or Mexico's manager. Just let me know what you think. Love your show. You're doing a great job, Sean A. Mix. What's up, buddy? Peace, guys.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for calling in on the initial show, like way back in late February now. Way back. It's just been a couple months. Appreciate it, though. As far as do or die for Berhalter, if we were a serious soccer-playing country, yes. If he lost tonight, he'd be out. We talked about it last week, or even just in advance, even if he just tied and Panama won their game. But, like we talked about last week, I'm not sure how serious the Federation is. Any real soccer-playing country, like you said, wouldn't be here already. He'd be already gone. They wouldn't have brought him back after the World Cup. This one, I can't trust him. Sean talked about it on Friday. We can't trust him. We don't know. I would expect them to make a move because you cannot have this type of negativity and toxicity in the biggest tournament since 1994. They haven't had a World Cup since 1994. I'm not saying it should have been sooner. It's just how it played out. It's one of the biggest tournaments for U.S. soccer as far and moments, actually, just as far as where you want this country to be as far as a soccer-playing country. Look, I'm not ever going to say it's ever going to be one of the top three or maybe even a top four. But if you want to be taken seriously overall, show out in the tournament that you're hosting. That's generally how the host nations do, unless they're somebody who's completely overmatched. The U.S. should not be completely overmatched. It won't help if Berhalter's still around. He has shown through multiple iterations of now his tenure that he is not the guy. They don't play to the level of their talent. They play down to teams they shouldn't, and that is the reason. And they're immature. In fact, they asked the guys, I think either yesterday or Saturday, have they talked about the red cards and trying to avoid them? And they said, no, we really haven't had a conversation about it. And everyone lost their minds. Wait a minute. This happened in a major tournament, and no one is talking about your inability to avoid situations like this? And even Tim Weah, not known to be, a hothead, couldn't avoid Panama pissing him off. It should be do or die. Will it be? You trust U.S. soccer to make the right move? And even if they did break them up, they did fire him. Anyone trust him to hire a guy who's going to get this team ready for the World Cup? I don't know if there's anyone outside of the U.S. soccer who believes they're capable of doing that. Am I saying we're effed? It feels like I'm saying we're screwed, right? All I got is hope, Eric. That's all I got. Blind hope that if it goes poorly tonight, he will lose his job, and then they'll go hire the right guy. Hell, you know who's in America just hanging out? Carlo Ancelotti. Just hanging out in Montana.
Oh.
Just hanging out.
Got nothing to do?
Got nothing to do hanging out in Montana. I don't know. You don't know. Maybe Carlo's next in line. I don't know. I would hope. I could pray. I could hope. I could doubt, too. That's the other thing. I could try to delude myself into thinking Carlo Ancelotti.
I imagine he takes one visit to like the actual Federation, and he's like,
Yeah, unless you're turning this entire thing over to me, get out of my face. So Lazy J, he wants to talk soccer too. Lazy J, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Dan? What's going on? Man, let's be realistic, man. You know USA, they're going to go ship, get their planes and go to Cancun right along with the Mexican national team. They're getting their ass kicked tonight by Uruguay. I got it 4-0, Uruguay. But I wanted to get in and talk a little Mexico. I wanted to get your thoughts. Do you think Jaime Lozano is gone? I know this team didn't have no chemistry, man, between Santi Jimenez and Quiñones. I don't even know what he was doing on the team. He's Colombian or whatever, and he plays in La Liga MX. But, like, come on, what is he really doing on the team? Do you think it's more of – I know this team probably might be the worst team in the last probably 10 to 15-plus years. But do you think it was because of Edison Machine went down so early? And another thought, man, I just feel like the officiating was horrible in those two games, especially with Venezuela and Ecuador. I seen two handballs yesterday that was not called. I just want to get your thoughts on, are they not calling that anymore? I mean, they're talking about incidental, but, I mean, clearly it was like on both of them, dude, you know, it was clearly a handball. It should have been a penalty. But, you know, they're not going to call it. You know, they got the Brazil referees, you know, in the pocket or whatever. They love Messi. But that's another story for another time. But I just want to get your thoughts on that. Why are they not going to the VR, man? I feel like, you know, they're quick to go to VR and everything else, but not on handballs. That can clearly should be a penalty. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Love the show, Dale.
Well, interesting that the Brazil referees would love Messi. I did find that interesting that he said that. Lazy J, clear Ronaldo fan, and not the Brazilian Ronaldo. He loves himself some Cristiano, so he's going to find a way to make something about Messi, even when it comes to Brazil referees. Well, we know how, and let me answer Eric's question about Southgate. I think he mentioned Southgate, too. He was pissed. Southgate, I don't know if you want to call him the Berhalter of England, and that would be an insult to Southgate, because despite what his performances have been this tournament, the stat came up that, like, in his tenure, they've won more knockout round games in his tenure than they had in the previous, like, 60 years.
Yeah, we do have to remember that his losses are
in, like, semifinals.
Semifinals.
And finals.
Semifinals.
Of major tournaments.
And finals to France and, I guess,
Croatia.
In Europe, Italy.
In Italy. Did he lose Croatia as well in a tournament, maybe?
It would have had to been the previous World Cup. Was he the manager then?
I don't remember, but he loses. I think he lost to Croatia in a semifinal, and that's how France got to play Croatia in the 2018 World Cup. So, yeah, as bad or as uncomfortable as you are with England's performances, they win, and it might be ugly. You might not like it, but this is all comes back to English arrogance, and some of the players have talked about how that the fans like to pile on and the media likes to pile on, and the fans weren't appreciative of Jude Bellingham's response to that because, hey, you guys have stunk. We have every right to talk about you that way. Well, I mean, they survive in advance quite a bit under Southgate. I know you're not winning the big trophy and you think you're owed one because of that whole coming home thing, but what has England done in my lifetime beyond what Southgate has provided? What are they talking about?
Yeah, did you hear Harry Kane he was talking about the former, because believe it or not, the former English national team players, they all chirp whenever
I can, like, believe it.
It's like the University of Miami former players.
Oh, I was going to bring it up, but I didn't want to bring myself into it. But yeah.
The only comp is the U.
Yeah.
And Harry Kane. But imagine instead of, like, it always being Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and Michael Irvin talking about the glory days. It's like other guys that didn't win anything.
At least those guys won titles. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like if a Travis Benjamin had something to say about everything going poorly.
DJ Dallas.
Yeah, like, wait a minute. Weren't you guys hearing the same things from these guys? Now you're piling on too?
And that's basically what Harry Kane said. He was like, I mean, they know what it's like to not win anything. Yeah. Is basically what he said. He's like, it's hard. It's weird that they pile on us because
Paul Scholes
get on us for not winning it just as much as they didn't win.
Yeah, Paul Scholes, what do you have to say to Declan Rice? What are you talking about? What did you ever win? In fact, you quit the national team because you were upset that Gerrard and Lampard kept getting the minutes over you, the starts over you, and yet you have something to say. So, yeah, it's toxic. But England, hey, they won. And as far as Lozano, which Lazy J brought up, well, the Mexico sporting director Davino has already said Lozano will retain his job. It's a project they're trying to build towards 2026 in the World Cup. So, look, those things can change. Apparently, Lozano has to provide like a progress report pretty much on where they are. But the guy making those decisions, at least in name, says he's not going anywhere. So comfort yourself with that, which if you don't like it, just wait. When the U.S. Federation tells us Berhalter's coming back, you can laugh at us too. If you feel bad about that particular pronouncement from the Mexican Federation. La Salsa, that's not your own name, so you can wait. Eric wants to respond to Lazy J. I guess we can do that on the other side. Actually, we'll do that now. We'll do this quick since it's the same, Eric. What's your response to Lazy J?
Hey, Del, real quick. So I see Lazy J and all these other L-Tree fans talking about penalty. If they knew the laws of the game, they'd understand that, especially in last night's game, if the ball touches the foot first and then hits the arm, it's not a penalty. You know, incidental contact actually means incidental contact. L-Tree, if they focus more on trying to score goals and actually put crosses in the box, they'd have a better chance of winning the games instead of banking on getting false penalties. L-Tree fans are so delusional, it's insane, but so are USA fans. And it's just, we're two peas in a pod, and I hate it for CONCACAF for this reason. But for all those L-Tree fans saying they should have had penalties, and, oh, we didn't get penalties called, Dude, those weren't penalties. Go back and look at the game. Look at it. Incidental contact means incidental contact. If the ball touches somewhere else before it touches your arm, incidental contact. Simple as that. L-Tree needs to suck it up. They need to suck it up. Just get ready for Cancun. Thanks, Dale. Sean, y'all have a good day.
Well, they're in Mexico, so it's not that far of a trip, to be honest with you.
They might actually be flying to Cancun.
Yeah, they might already be in Cancun. maybe some of them live there. Who knows? But, yeah, the rivalry is what it is. We heard from the L-Tree fan. We heard from the U.S. fan. And, yeah, sad days in CONCACAF as a major tournament that was for a long time, strictly South American. Now, the U.S. has made appearances before. This is the second time, I believe, it's been in this country. And it was supposed to be a showcase for the U.S. And we've had issues with the field. The South American teams haven't been happy with it. And now the two major CONCACAF teams may be out the door. But Canada, who has Jesse Marsh as their manager, of an actual U.S. former player and U.S. managers, I'll advance to the knockout stage.
I was gonna say, everyone's talking about, man, these CONCACAF hosts, they both really disappointed. And Canada's like,
look at us. We're hosting the World Cup too, and we're through with the U.S. manager who wanted the U.S. job, but they stuck with Berhalter.
Can the U.S. hire Jesse Marsh away from Canada?
He might be going, F you guys. You had the shot before. He is an American, but he might say, hey, I'm not leaving.
Okay. Maybe Chris Del Conte can get involved and make it happen.
The big bank of Chris Del Conte. Jesse Marsh is like, I had to learn O Canada. I'm not leaving now. Lazy J, you don't get to reply. Only one reply is allowed. I was thinking I question letting Eric reply, but only one reply is allowed. You don't get another one. We can do this all day.
Entire show.
Yeah, if I let you guys go back and forth like it's a message board, this would go all day long. No. Only one, and that was under protest. I mean, I let it happen, but I was still questioning it. We appreciate you, Lazy J. If you want to respond to Eric P., call tomorrow. If you guys want to start a rivalry, you can call tomorrow. La Salsa, we'll get to you when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay. Couple more segments to go. With Salsa, he wants to change the direction of the conversation and talk about the Astros. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good evening. Good morning, Dell and Sean. I want to congratulate the Astros on taking two doves out of New York and with Tuesday, raising that orange fire yesterday. But I wanted to ask you, Dell, do you think you're going to go watch the new Maxine movie coming out? And I was wondering, what are the chances Sean would DJ an SDM joint anytime during the show? Thanks, that's it.
What? Did you? What did, I know I heard the DJ part, but what did he want you to DJ?
I don't know.
I think he did this last week, too, where he said something we didn't know what he was talking about. I'm not going to see the Maxine movie. I'll just wait for it to come out on streaming. I don't need to go watch that in the theaters. It's the third in the Ty West trilogy. First, it was X, then it was Pearl, and now it's Maxine. Mia Goth has been in a lead role in all three. She now plays Maxine, who was the only survivor. I guess I can't. I'm not going to finish that because I don't know if you've seen the particular movie, so I'm not going to give it away. You can go see one. You can see both those movies and figure out who I'm talking about, I guess. Jenna Ortega's is in X. She's one of the people on the poster. Her screaming face when something bad could or couldn't be happening to her. You can go watch it. X is pretty good. Pearl, it's fine. I don't like Pearl as much. We'll see how Maxine goes. It's set in L.A. as Maxine tries to become a star, I guess. And things go poorly because it's a horror movie. Imagine that. The other thing you said, Sean could be a DJ for some stuff, I guess, if he wants to. We just don't know what you're talking about.
No, I already went back and listened. I still cannot quite make it out.
No, I had no idea what he's talking about. So, Sean, you can explain this to me.
Oh, yes.
Is Paul Feinbaum in your group chat? Paul Feinbaum, and if that's La Salsa, don't call back. We don't care that much. You can call back tomorrow and explain it to us if you want.
Just say it slower.
Yeah, or that too, tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum is in your group chat. Is he? Because he sounds exactly like someone who would be in it. Paul Feinbaum was asked by a couple guys. Sorry, I forgot their names. It was SEC weekend for the Aggies and the Sooners. They're officially in the conference starting today. The Sooners are gonna have their SEC celebration today. The Longhorns had it yesterday. Pitbull was there celebrating, inviting all of Central Texas to the event. I guess if you were in Central
Texas, Mr. SEC.
Mr. 305. Now he's Mr. SEC.
Mr. 512?
I'm sure I'm sure the checks cash the same. He can be whatever he wants to be because those checks, a big one, probably cashed. So he's there celebrating, wants people out. Well, I don't even know. Does Pitbull has a pool with the college kids? Although there are no college kids around at that time. But I guess if you like Pitbull, show up to the event. There are two Ryans? Two of them? Want to talk about two different things? Okay, we'll see about that.
This is going to get very confusing.
Oh, yeah, it will be. But Mr. 305 had a concert to welcome Texas to the SEC, because when you think SEC, you think Pitbull. But Paul Feinbaum was asked about the future of the Texas quarterback position, and this is what he had to say.
I have no intentions to tiptoe, Paul. Who will be the starting quarterback for Texas at the end of this upcoming season?
That will be Arch Manning. I don't need to tiptoe around that. That is guaranteed. You heard it. And we may even see him a little bit throughout the season.
Guaranteed, locking in. Quinn Ewers will lose his job to Arch Manning. Paul, you ain't got to do favor for the Mannings. I mean, I think you're kind of solidified as an SEC guy. You don't have to pump Arch Manning if you don't want to. Let it play out. If Quinn bleeps the bet at Michigan, I'm sure we will see Arch Manning. But I would say wait for it to happen when Steve Sarkisian has said over and over again, and has acted in a way that supports it, that Quinn Ewers is a starting quarterback. Is Arch Manning on the cover of EA College Football 25? Well, he wouldn't opt in, so that's part of the reason why he wouldn't be. But Quinn Ewers is on the cover. No one's saying Travis Hunter's going to lose his job. No one's saying Edwards from Michigan's going to lose his job. I would say I saw enough of Arch Manning in high school. I wouldn't predict anything about him stealing Quinn Ewers' job.
This is my favorite take of you.
He was playing against those little kids out there. He was playing against those TikTokers out there. I saw him, and not like the Jarrett McCain TikTok, who's like 6'3", can play basketball. Like literally guys who would only have a career being influencers. They wouldn't be doing it in sports. I saw him stiff-arming guys and running away from those little private school kids. I ain't using that to make a determination.
Hey, I used to be a private school kid.
Well, and look where you are. You never played Division I football either. So there it is. My point remains. And Jalen Waddle, I think, played private school football too. So it's not.
Yeah, so did Odell Beckham. Ever hear of him?
And I think, and other guys. Marvin, who was from here who went to Florida State in this area? I forgot his name. But the point remains, those kids I haven't seen on any SEC rosters. They don't have the body type, Sean. Jalen Waddle, and by the way, Jalen Waddle was recruited to play there. The kids I saw were going there no matter what. They just happen to want to play football.
their parents just valued their education, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And then, hey, you want some extracurriculars to try to get into whatever school you want to get into?
Either go this play, or lacrosse.
Yeah, go play football. They probably both. Sure, that school isn't big enough to field a football and lacrosse team from different pools of people. So I've seen enough of Arch Manning to know I wouldn't be predicting him stealing anyone's job. It might come to that at some point. But mostly because Quinn Ewers doesn't play well enough. Not that Arch Manning plays him off the field. I know I ain't Paul Feinbaum, but I seen what I seen. Relax. You know what? It's really crazy. Like Quinn Ewers, he goes, you know what? Know what I did? I just led my team help. Well, maybe not led. I helped my team make a playoff.
I was the starter.
I was a starter of a team who made a playoff. And you just giving my job away.
That's what I was thinking, because I'm sure Quinn Ewers was also there signing something or whatever. Actually, no, he's at the Manning Passing Academy. But I imagine this video gets sent to Quinn Ewers.
Like, wait a minute.
What the hell just happened?
We were a couple seconds away from possibly making the title game.
Well, a couple seconds or a couple better throws?
Well, maybe if there were more seconds, he wouldn't have been so rushed. I don't know. I'm just trying to give him some bail, shooting some bail.
He could make a better throw.
But either way, we were a couple plays away. Fine. A couple plays away.
Yeah.
Or one play away from going to the title game. And you're just going to give my job away to Arch Manning, who wasn't even a backup last year? I mean, come on now. Well, who am I? David Ash? What are we doing here?
As much as Dell wants to paint me as just a Quinn Ewers hater.
Or you and Paul Feinbaum. I said
no,
that whole group chat, you, Paul Feinbaum, and the rest of your friends are all Quinn Ewers haters.
Not haters.
Ewers haters. Are you saying you're a realist then?
Yes. We tell it how it is, not how it ain't.
No, you tell it how you tell it how you want it to be. I don't know if you tell it how
I
it
would
is.
That's false, because I would love for Quinn Ewers to have to have a Joe Burrow year.
Isn't there part of you
that'd be great
who wants to win that Michigan game but do it defensively because Michigan's missing so much and
then be down 10 at halftime during Red River and then make the switch.
Quinn Ewers isn't really good against Michigan, but the defense bails him out. You win that game, and then Steve Sarkisian goes, you know what? We're gonna get Arch more snaps. He's deserved it. He's earned those snaps in practice. And Quinn Ewers will keep starting for a little bit, but it's more like
I don't want two quarterbacks.
No, he'll play in blowouts.
I don't want Will Howard, Avery Johnson.
You want doubt to creep in, but win, and eventually for the Caleb Williams thing to happen, where they eventually play him.
I want Jalen Hurts to a Tua Tagovailoa. That's what I want.
So you want to get to the title game, yes. Quinn Ewers to bleep the bed, and then Arch Manning
and then win. Yes.
So Arch gets all the credit?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and you're not a hater. Okay.
No, not a hater. But I will say, Dell, it is July 1st.
What does that mean?
We're getting close. Well, it means Texas in the SEC.
Officially.
It also means that we're getting closer to college football season. I will start closing the ranks, and I will become, you know, mouthpiece for the program. And some of this Quinn Ewers stuff, I'll be defending him more and more as the season gets closer.
Yes. You're gonna defend him from yourself?
No, I just mean I'll stop taking shots.
Okay. All right.
And I'll push back on the best Texas quarterback since Colt McCoy.
He's certainly by far. He's got a Big 12 title and he's got a playoff appearance.
No one else can say that.
That's true. So even with that, he's accomplished more.
Also went to Alabama and beat the Alabama.
Sure. Now it was the only opportunity for a Texas quarterback to do that, but he did it.
I mean, all these other guys lost to effing Iowa State. Like, what are we talking about?
Quinn Ewers doesn't have a Kansas loss on his resume.
Yeah.
We'll credit him for that. Although, in this time period, losing to Kansas isn't as embarrassing as it was back then.
He beat good Kansas.
Yeah, that's right. Ryan, you want to talk? Well, we don't really talk politics, so we'll see how serious this politic conversation is. We'll see about that when we come back. We got one more segment to go. If you want to get in about anything, if you are like Paul Feinbaum and Sean Mapes and you hate your starting quarterback, you can call in about that.
False.
Or conveniently want the backup to win the job. However you want to put it, you can call in 713-780-3776. 3776 or call on about anything. We'll talk to you when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A couple things before we get to Ryan. Derek White signs a four-year, nearly $126 million extension with the Celtics. So the Celtics have already given extensions even before the season was over to Porzingis and Holiday. They give one to Derek White as well, and Morgan Scalley. He has been named the successor to Kyle Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham is the head coach at Utah. Really good coach, probably a top five coach in the country. Utah's in the Big 12. Morgan Scalley will take over at some point. We're back to the coaching waiting stuff. It's been a while since we've done something like this, particularly for a major program.
I thought they got rid of that.
Yeah.
After Jimbo Fisher, Will Muschamp.
Yeah, I thought it was something they did not do anymore, but he has been named the successor. Who knows how much Kyle Whittingham will make. We already know what his contract will be. He'll make $5 million per year as head coach. But there is no timetable for when Kyle Whittingham will leave that job. It's just they have their replacement, and he'll be making $5 million when that job begins for him. Ryan wants to talk about something we don't ever talk about. So I'm bringing him on mostly because I'm not sure where this is going to go. You guys know this show. Despite what he says it is, it could be anything. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, this is Ryan on a mobile. So that debate last week was pretty crazy. But my question would be, out of these three people, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, which of them would be more likely to do OnlyFans? Thanks. Bye.
I like it. It is Ryan specific. The question is, who's looking for that? But I guess I can't use that as an excuse, because to be honest, Ryan's propositions are just as ridiculous for the most part, because those women would never do it. So he said Pelosi, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and who else was it? There's another woman. I've already forgotten. It was another. I'm going to say, nah, I'm not. If it's okay for me to give percentages on actresses, is it okay for me to give percentages on politicians? Yeah, why not? I'm going to go at 0.01 for all of them.
Elizabeth Warren was
Elizabeth
the other one.
Warren. Okay. Yeah, Donald Trump.
Does that change your...
Donald Trump called her a Disney character at one point. It wouldn't be the one you suspect if you don't remember. Just look it up. No, I'm going to leave them all at 0.001% chance. And really, I should just put it at zero. None of them. Actually, you know what? For the first time ever, zero.
No, because
for all of them,
it could be a, you know, I'm out here reaching my constituents
through OnlyFans.
Yeah. You know, all proceeds go to my next campaign, campaign funding. And so, you know, here I'm talking about the issues.
Sorry, I think the connotation is enough. And it's funny you say that, because it used to be...
With my sandals off.
At least... the camera... camera's panning down for whatever reason. Initially, that's what OnlyFans was for. It was supposed to be an opportunity for celebrities to connect with, you know, paid subscribers in a way that they wouldn't normally on Instagram. And just, you know, OnlyFans Live here, a couple pictures here of them behind the scenes on set. And then, you know, porn always wins. And they got involved. And, hey, you know what we can do? We'll use OnlyFans for this.
So it was supposed to be like Cameo?
Yeah. It was supposed to be a spot where you would pay for more interaction with a specific celebrity. That's where OnlyFans, it'd be only your fans would have access. How do they prove that they're fans? They're paying. That's how it was supposed to be.
Well, that still works. Yeah. That the name still works.
Yeah, the premise does still work. But, you know, it became a spot for other things. And, you know, you're not going to see Natalie Portman on OnlyFans. I mean, at one point she might have used it to connect with her fans, but now she couldn't. No chance. It just has a different feel and connotation overall. So the three politicians you mentioned, Ryan, on the mobile, no chance. Even though Sean tried to, you know, provide a little daylight.
Maybe.
Unlikely,
I'd
say.
Do some sort of Q&A, you know?
It would have
a live Q&A.
It would have to have been bought by someone, and they wiped all the porn off of it, and then it became what it was initially for. But why would anyone do that when, because of how profitable it is to own OnlyFans? Let's make it about regular actors and actresses. Nah, let's keep it where it is. It's a lot of money in them hills, them OnlyFans hills.
Yeah, and I guess they couldn't just do, they could just do a Instagram Live, but they don't get the money for the campaign.
But they also
that's what I was thinking. You know?
Understood. You can monetize what you're doing on OnlyFans, but you can, can't you get subs? I don't know if it's called subscribers, but there's, I know you can do it on Twitter where you can, you know, make
pay
for your tweets and stuff like that. But, nah, unlikely. I mean, if you had a thought about Elizabeth Warren, keep it to yourself, honestly. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. We got a couple more things to get to before we wrap it up. We know the Astros are not on the field now, but in a couple hours, maybe now less than that now. Actually, I take that back. 2:07 is the start time for Hunter Brown in Toronto. As the Astros try to continue the hot streak, they play a bad baseball team. You expect them to win. They survive bad pitching, at least from their starters, over the weekend to take 2 out of 3. So playing Toronto, not nearly as hot as the Grimace-led Mets. We hope for another good outing from the pitching staff, and hopefully the bats, who have been really good over the last 10 days, continue. So Sean put this in the rundown days ago. Now, we haven't gotten to it, but we know. Sometimes we get to our bargain basement topics.
It's evergreen.
It's evergreen as well. So we'll get to it here. He put this in, and it goes back to the SEC. Barrett Salih has ranked the coaches in the SEC on who would win a fight. And he's got Brent Venables at number one. Is that just by him being a defensive coach and he has that get-back coach, the guy who's pulling him by his belt loop to keep him off the field? Because I don't look at Brent Venables as he would beat me up in a fight guy.
No.
I don't see him that way. He's got your coach at number three. You think Steve Sarkisian's tougher in a fight than Mike Elko? I know he's probably got the fitness advantage.
Yeah, probably have like 10 years on him. No, that's another one where I kind of get what he's saying, because he was former quarterback. So he has size. He's athletic. A lot of these guys you get to like, you know, Josh Heupel, also a former quarterback, has more size, but not the size really you want.
I think Billy Napier's too low.
Napier too low. Yeah, I feel like that's he's letting the football get in the way of the fight rankings. I think Billy Napier should be higher. Mark Stoops should probably be a little bit higher.
Mark Stoops, he's fiery. We know Mark Stoops.
I don't
want to
fight Mark Stoops.
No, I don't want any part of that. I would rank him higher. Now, some of the guys very low on the list, like you mentioned, Heupel, Eli Drinkwitz, who a lot of people consider just a nerd. He's at 16. He's done great at Missouri, but he's considered a nerd for whatever reason.
Shane Beamer, number 13. That seems low.
Yeah, he's got that special teams blood in him.
Yeah, I was gonna say I get that he's not intimidating, but he has a little bit of scrappy do energy to him.
Yeah, he doesn't back down.
He wants to fight.
He would welcome a challenge if you step to him. Kalen DeBoer is at 10. I don't know much about Kalen DeBoer.
That's all right.
I would probably
talk about not wanting a fight.
Yeah, I would drop Kiffin down from 11 to like in that lower third or that lower three.
Yeah,
I would probably move Brian Kelly up a little bit. Not that he would win a fight, but I think he would win a fight. Well,
more than Heupel? Well, Heupel or Kelly?
And Kiffin's lost weight. But I would still drop. I don't think he's looking to fight, though.
That is true.
The want to. Yeah, the want to is a big deal in this. I don't think he's looking to fight. I think you would drop him down. In fact, I think Eli Drinkwitz probably I would raise him higher because of his energy. We know he had words for Tennessee. He ain't going to back down from anyone. He's got to be scrappy.
Yeah, he's
he
not
coaches
last.
At Missouri. He's not last. Nah, Hugh Freeze ain't looking for a fight. I'm putting him lower. He may care a lot about football enough to coach from a hospital bed in a booth, but he ain't looking for a fight. I disagree with this list wholeheartedly, honestly.
Sam Pittman probably should be a little bit higher.
Yes. he's an old offensive line guy. I don't want to set the stamp.
I imagine he knows how to grapple.
I guess he's saying who would win. Why is Steve Sarkisian going to win a fight? What's he looking at when he sees Steve Sarkisian and think he's going to win a fight? Because he's in better shape than
some of these guys? When I first saw this tweet, I was like, I would expect him to be like top half. I wouldn't expect him to be number three.
Clark Lee, the Vanderbilt coach, he looks like a tough dude. I'm not putting Brent Venables over him. Sorry.
No. Although Brent Venables looks like he bites.
He would be scrappy too, but he's not number one for me. I think I'd put Clark Lee up there.
I think I'll go Lee, Napier, Elko.
Yeah, and then maybe Venables slides in at four.
Then Venables, Pittman to round up.
Something like that. Yeah. Eli Drinkwitz, I would put him at like 9 or 10. He's a little too low for me. He's got to be scrappy. People call him a nerd and he coaches football. He's got to want to fight someone at some point. We are done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We're done, Sean. So what does that mean?
We did it!
That's right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.